The Road, Disc 5.
They picked their way among the mummied figures, the black skin stretched upon the bones, and their faces split and shrunken on their skulls, like victims of some ghastly and vacuuming. Passing them in silence down that silent corridor, through the drifting ash where they struggled forever in the road's cold coagulate. They passed through the site of a roadside hamlet burned to nothing. Some metal storage tanks, a few standing flues of blackened brick. There were gray slag pools of melted glass in the ditches, and the raw light wires lay in rusting skeins for miles along the edge of the roadway. He was coughing every step of it. He saw the boy watching him. He was what the boy thought about. Well, should he? They sat in the road and ate leftover skillet bread, hard as biscuit, and their last can of tuna fish. He opened a can of prunes and they passed it between them. The boy held the tin up and drained the last of the juice, and then sat with the tin in his lap and passed his forefinger around the inside of it and put his finger in his mouth.
"Don't cut your finger," the man said.
"You always say that."
"I know."
He watched him lick the lid of the tin with great care, like a cat licking its reflection in a glass. "Stop watching me," he said.
"Okay."
He folded down the lid of the can and set it in the road before him.
"What?"
he said. "What is it?"
"Nothing."
"Tell me."
"I think there's someone following us."
"That's what I thought."
"That's what you thought?"
"Yes, that's what I thought you were going to say. What do you want to do?"
"I don't know."
"What do you think?"
"Let's just go. We should hide our trash."
"Because they'll think we have lots of food."
"Yes."
"And they'll try to kill us."
"They won't kill us."
"They might try to."
"We're okay."
"Okay."
"I think we should lay in the weeds for them. See who they are."
"And how many?"
"And how many?"
"Yes." "Okay."
"If we can get across the creek, we could go up on the bluffs there and watch the road."
"Okay."
"We'll find a place."
They rose and piled their blankets in the cart.
"Get the tin," the man said.
It was late into the long twilight before the road crossed the creek. They trundled over the bridge and pushed the cart out through the woods, looking for some place to leave it where it wouldn't be seen. They stood looking back at the road in the dusk.
"What if we put it under the bridge?"
the boy said.
"What if they go down there for water?"
"How far back do you think they are?"
"I don't know."
"It's getting dark."
"I know."
"What if they go by in the dark?"
"Let's just find a place where we can watch. It's not dark yet."
They hid the cart and went up the slope among the rocks, carrying their blankets, and they dug themselves in where they could see back down the road through the trees for perhaps half a mile. They were sheltered from the wind, and they wrapped themselves in their blankets and took turns watching. But after a while, the boy was asleep. He was almost asleep himself when he saw a figure appear at the top of the road and stand there. Soon, two more appeared, then a fourth. They stood and grouped. Then they came on. He could just make them out in the deep dusk. He thought they might stop soon, and he wished he'd found a place further from the road. If they stopped at the bridge, it would be a long, cold night. They came down the road and crossed the bridge, three men and a woman. The woman walked with a waddling gait, and as she approached, he could see that she was pregnant. The men carried packs on their backs, and the woman carried a small cloth suitcase. All of them wretched-looking beyond description, their breath steaming softly. They crossed the bridge and continued on down the road and vanished one by one into the waiting darkness.